The Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. If you want to support Gopher football, there's no better way to do that than being a Goal Line Club member.
100% of your $100 donation to the Goal Line Club goes directly to the Gopher football program. No other buckets, just to PJ Fleck and that Gopher football program. So if you want to directly support them, this is the best way how. Go to goallineclub.org/memberships. Become a member today. If you want to shoot an email, info@goallineclub.org.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to the Gophers' first real test edition as the Gophers travel to East Lansing, a place they haven't won since 2006, to take on the number 21 Michigan State Spartans. A lot to get to, some very interesting matchups, Luke. But first, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm excited to get into this one. As I mentioned on the last episode, I have some family that's big Spartan fans, so I'm excited to, you know, spar with them a little bit, but excited to get into this preview edition against the Michigan State Spartans, Ryan.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting litmus test. I think we talked before the season about it. I mean, I talked about it. It was interesting to kind of be at Big Ten Media Days, and then I asked Andy Greeter, Randy Johnson, and even the Edina's favorite fourth left wing, Justin Guard, about what's the most important game. Well, I think everybody agreed in unanimous, which I wasn't really expecting, that it's going to be this Michigan State team, because we need to see, is Minnesota legit? I also think Minnesota needs to go 2-1 in their crossovers if they're actually going to get to Indianapolis this year. And you look across the board for all those three teams right now, I think maybe Penn State's a little bit better than we thought. Michigan State is kind of exactly what we thought. And then Rutgers, we'll find out a lot about this weekend when it's the punt of the century between Iowa and Rutgers. But we'll get to that a little bit later. But this is a huge test, the most difficult test for Minnesota across the board coming into the game this weekend.
Yeah, there's no question that this is going to be the best team that they face. This is a team that was ranked in the top 25, end up losing to Washington. But probably more importantly, this is a team that has some lofty expectations given the year they had last year. So there's some pressure on them as well, having to bounce back from a loss. And like you said, Ryan, having those crossover games, this isn't an opponent that we see on an annual basis. So this is one that the fan base gets up for maybe a little bit more, because you don't see them year in and year out. And frankly, I can't think of the last time we played Michigan State.
It was back in 2017. I think it was, that would have been first or second year PJ Fleck, and they lost 30-27. Minnesota's actually lost their last five games against the Michigan State Spartans, including, I think, their last three in East Lansing. Like I said, last time Minnesota won there, 2006. So if this is going to be a year to remember, this is going to have to be a year where they're going to be breaking some of these streaks, like against Iowa, and certainly starting this weekend against Michigan State.
Yeah, and if I remember right, the last win I can remember, this again off the top of my head, was that Halloween game, Kirk Cousins versus Adam Weber. I most notably remember this because there was an offensive lineman that was hurt, and I happened to be in the student section at this point in my career still, and there were some very inebriated students that started chanting "Shoot him like a horse," and that got some laughs and got some cringes. So that's the best and the worst of the best of student section chants. But that's all I remember from that game, was those inebriated guys yelling "Shoot him like a horse."
Well, I'm actually looking at it right now. The last time Minnesota won, I'm pretty sure in East Lansing, it was 2006. It was a 31-18 game. Your guy Brian Cupido threw for 240 plus yards, two scores. Yeah. Amir Penix ran for 113 yards. My guy from Tartan High School zone, Jay Thomas, had a rushing touchdown. Logan Payne had one through the air. Ernie Wheelwright did as well. Something called Carry Reed went absolutely bonkers against Minnesota. 11 catches, 147 yards. And do you know who the quarterback was for the Michigan State Spartans in that game. He might still be in the NFL. I don't know. He might have just retired.
I know at one point they had a ton of NFL guys because they had like Kirk Cousins. They had the guy.
This is right before Kirk Cousins. His name was Brian Hoyer, if you remember him.
Yeah.
50 times against that Gopher team. So a lot has changed for Michigan State. A lot has changed for Minnesota. But it is going to be an interesting test for the Gophers this weekend.
All right, let's get to when the Gophers let's actually get to injuries first. How about? I know this is going to play a factor. Obviously, the loss of Chris Ottman Bell with the lower leg injury, but also I know Michigan State has a handful of injuries that are going to impact them as well. Ryan,
the big injury for Minnesota is obviously Chris Ottman Bell. We talked about it on the Sunday pod with Derek Burns. It has been confirmed since then. Chris Ottman Bell, in case you've been living under a rock, is now out for the season. He had knee surgery today for some torn things in his knee from that pass there late in the second quarter. And again, it's unfortunate because, as PJ Fleck notes, it's not like it was anything difficult. He wasn't bending and twisting, outstretched his arm to get the pass. He put weight on his right leg and it just collapsed. And you hate to see that for him. You know, we can probably talk about this on Sunday with Derek, but Minnesota is going to apply for a seventh-year medical redshirt. I would expect the medical redshirt to be granted. And now we put ourselves in the situation like we were last season in September, Luke. Now we wait and see what Chris Ottman Bell decides to do. We saw what Mo Ibrahim decided to do in terms of coming back. But I don't know what Chris will do. I say this with peace and love to Chris Ottman Bell. I don't know if he's an NFL receiver. What I do know is he's a really good Big Ten receiver. And he's going to be without Tanner Morgan and Mo Ibrahim and John Michael Schmitz, among others, on that offense who he came in with, who he's so close with.
Yep.
Does he want to try to come back for another year with a new quarterback? I'm not sure. And that's a question that doesn't need to be answered right now. I mean, he just had surgery today. But it is certainly something that it'll be interesting to hear as the season kind of goes on, what Chris decides to do, how he continues to rehab, or if, again, there's a lot that has to yet to be decided there. But that's about the only injury offensively or for Minnesota. Now, I know the Axel Rushmeyer one has caused some people to ask about that. Again, Axel Rushmeyer plays the first 9 snaps of the game on that first series for a touchdown, doesn't come back in. Fleck says he's fine. My sources say he's been practicing. So whether it's Nathan Bowe, who I thought played well in Axel's absence there, I feel all right about left guard. But other than that, I feel pretty good about Minnesota's injury situation. But when you go to the Michigan State side of things, that's where it's a little bit more complicated. The best player for Michigan State offensively is someone by the name of Jaden Reed. He's their most talented player on offense. He's also a heck of a return man. He did not play last week against Washington, which played a part in why Sparty wasn't able to get that done. But it's an interesting injury, Luke. So in their second game the week prior to Washington, he had, the way I understand it from talking with Michigan State fans, he went to the sidelines on a play and got a deep cut in his back. Now, I don't know if that was from a cleat
on the field.
Yeah. So, okay. But it was happened on the sidelines. So again, I don't know how that happens, but the cut was so deep that it caused him to miss the Washington game.
Huh.
Now, I truly have no idea if he's going to play or not because that's such a wonky injury. But if he plays, he and Charlie Jones are probably going to be the two best receivers that Minnesota faces all season. So we'll see if Jaden Reed ends up playing again. Missed the game last week. But defensively, there are some key injuries. Their linebacker, Darius Snow, is out for the season, was a starting linebacker for them. They're all Big Ten safety from last year, and Xavier Henderson is going to miss this game. Sounds like he won't be back until mid-October. And then the big one, though, is Jacob Slade, a defensive tackle who was all Big Ten. He missed the game last week as well in Washington, and it's unknown if he's going to be back or not. So that's where we're trying to provide a little bit more context to why didn't Michigan State not play well? Well, maybe because they were missing their best skill position player on offense and their best defensive lineman on defense. I mean, we're going to have to find out and see if those guys are going to be able to play. If they're not, well, it's obviously a break for Minnesota. But if one or both of them play, it's certainly a much tougher game.
Yeah, injuries are a part of football. It's something you have to overcome. Obviously, the Gophers are dealing with that. Michigan State's dealing with that as well. You know, maybe Michigan State's hampered a little more, but ultimately, this is just part of football, and it'll happen throughout the season. It's a part you hate to see. We're excited to announce that Gopher Gridiron Radio is partnered with CapsCustom.com. That's K-A-P-P-S Customs.com. They have partnered with Tanner Morgan and the Angel Foundation to provide and offer relief to adults with cancer and their loved ones through financial assistance, education, and social and emotional support. Ryan, I'm wearing one of their hats right now, and I'm telling you, it's a great hat.
Yeah, they got snapbacks, they got fitted ones, but the most important thing in here is, you know, it helps with the Angel Foundation. As Luke said, all the proceeds from these hats that Tanner Morgan is partnering with goes directly to offer relief to adults and their loved ones with financial support, among other things. So Ted Morgan, Tanner's father, passed away. This is something that Tanner is very passionate about. So if you want to help support him, help support local cancer patients, go to capscustoms.com, and that's CAPS spelled K-A-P-P-S.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. The Gophers on the season, Ryan, please be sitting for this, are averaging 49.7 points per game, 554 yards of total offense, 242 through the air, and 312 on the ground. Conversely, Michigan State's only giving up 17.3 points per game. They are giving up 350 yards of total offense, 264 through the air, and only 89 on the ground. Ryan, something's got to give in this game, man.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? I mean, there's a lot of different kind of matchups to look at. I think the first one I'm going to start with is two-time Defensive Player of the Week already for Michigan State, Jacoby Windham, someone that has been incredibly prolific as a pass rusher. You know, it's funny, Luke, I think I mentioned it briefly last Sunday, but Jacoby Windham is a transfer that Michigan State took in the offseason from UNLV. And he was someone that Minnesota defensive coordinator Joe Rossi went and met with a couple of times back in December, trying to get him to come to Minnesota. He ends up at Michigan State, and he's terrorizing people. And that's where, for Minnesota's offensive line, this is a good Michigan State. I mean, I think this is a top five front seven that is in existence in the Big Ten. Now, we can get to the question marks in their secondary, but whether it's Jacoby Windham, whether it's Jacob Slade, I mean, there are some pass rushers and that they can get after the passer. And that's where, why was Washington so prolific last week? Why was Michael Penix so good? Well, it was because of a quick passing game. So Minnesota's going to have to get the ball out, because or else Windham is going to be able to cause, hopefully not some turnovers. But this is a good front seven that is only allowing 2.97 yards per carry through three games. You know, I thought that they did a pretty good job of stopping the run last week against Washington. Now, Minnesota's offensive line and rushing attack is obviously going to be a little bit better than what the Huskies had to offer. But this is going to be a great litmus test. What does it look like for Ariante Ursery and Quinn Carroll against Jacoby Windham? On the inside, how does John Michael Schmitz, Axel Rushmeyer, Chuck Filiaga do against the Jacob Slades of the world, an all Big Ten defensive tackle? Can Minnesota pass protect? Can Minnesota open holes for Mo Ibrahim? That's a great question. Now, the secondary for Michigan State, I don't think it's as bad as what everybody's trying to tell me it is. And I you know, I've watched all three games for Michigan State so far this year. And I think last week, you know, Michigan State's secondary members didn't play the ball particularly well, but Michael Penix made a bunch of great throws. Now, Tanner Morgan has done that in spurts. He's going to continue to need to do that if Minnesota's going to win in a place they haven't won in 16 years. But I think if you're Minnesota, this is a game where Tanner Morgan's probably going to have to throw 25 to 30 times, because this is a good front seven for Michigan State. But where they can be exploited, Luke, is through the pass.
Yeah, we definitely saw that in the last game. So here's the thing that I just want to bring up. I think Gopher fans would probably feel slightly better about this game having not lost Chris Upman-Bell. So there are some question marks here just on who's going to fill, you know, that role or that void that he's leaving. You know, we've talked a little bit about Dalen, right? We talked about Brevin Span Ford in the breakdown pod. But what do you expect to see, you know, having now given some time to think about this in more detail? Where are they going to fill this gap in the pass game?
That's a great question, and it's one that I don't know that I still have the answer to. I think the easy part is Brevin Spanford and Dalen Wright. If Tanner's going to throw the ball 25, 30 times, they should be getting 12 to 15 of those targets at least. I think they're Minnesota's two most athletically gifted, physically gifted playmakers out there. But my question still becomes, who is the slot receiver and who plays out wide? I mentioned it on Sunday night, Luke, but in 2021, Daniel Jackson was the slot receiver. And Michael Brown Stevens played outside. Well, Daniel Jackson misses the first two games, comes back in just this last week against Colorado. Well, they flip-flopped. Daniel Jackson exclusively played outside on all of his snaps, while Michael Brown Stevens so far in 2022 has almost exclusively played in the slot. Chris Ottman-Bell was an outside guy. So which one of the two is going to be the slot? Which one's going to fill technically Chris Ottman-Bell's some of his snaps allegedly? Now, I wouldn't also sleep on maybe Lamecki Brockington taking some of those snaps outside. But, you know, Daniel House also asked Kirk Shiroka today about Clay Geary. And I just, folks, I don't know how many more snaps Clay Geary is going to get. Because, as I mentioned, Chris Ottman-Bell exclusively outside. And Minnesota likes Daniel Jackson and Michael Brown Stevens on the inside, whichever one of them it may be. I'm not saying that Clay Geary shouldn't have some type of role, but I don't see him now having an expanded role without Ottman-Bell. But Luke, I think the point is at least two of these four guys in that top four, the Brevins, the Dalen Wrights, the Daniel Jacksons, and the Michael Brown Stevenses of the world, they're going to have a pretty good game on Saturday if Minnesota is going to emerge with a victory.
Once again, Goal for Gridiron Radio is brought to you by the Goal Line Club. The Goal Line Club has been a longtime sponsor of Goal for Gridiron Radio, and we appreciate their support. If you want to find an event, one event that we might point you to would be the fact that they're going to have their tailgate party, and this doesn't require anything other than going, is at Tony's Diner. So if you're looking for something to do before the game against Purdue and you're flying in, maybe you're making a long drive, and you don't have a tailgate to hit up, head over to Tony's Diner. It's awesome.
It is. Again, an 11 a.m. start for that Purdue game. They're trying to do the maroon and gold out. Please participate for the love of all that's holy. But go hang out with the guys at the Goal Line Club. Tony's Diner right there in Dinkytown. Fantastic supporters of the Gopher football program. Go hang out with some Gopher fans there.
Let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. Ryan, this will probably be, no, this won't probably be, this will be the best offense the Gophers have faced all year. On the season, Michigan State is averaging 38.3 points per game, 430 yards of total offense, 264 through the air, 166 on the ground. Conversely, the Gophers are only giving up 5.7 points per game, 170 yards of total offense, 100 through the air, and only 69 on the ground. Ryan, this is a Jay Johnson-led offense. We know a little bit about Jay Johnson. It should be a fun test for this Gopher defense.
I love the storylines, much to the chagrin of one of my Pair in the Spare co-hosts. But what would have been 2016 Minnesota football offensive coordinator Jay Johnson? Yep. Then heads out to, I believe, Colorado to meet up with Mel Tucker. And I'd say things have gone pretty well for Jay Johnson since he was let go from Minnesota. But as excited I am, or as curious, excited, whatever word you want to use, to see what Minnesota's passing offense or just offense in general looks like without Ottman-Bell, I would argue that this is going to be a top two test for Minnesota defensively for the rest of the season. I know that there's not a lot of good offenses in the Big Ten West, but outside of maybe the Penn State and Purdue game, this is going to be a huge test because there are skill position players everywhere. The quarterback, Peyton Thorne, I think is a pretty dang good quarterback, probably a top three or four one Minnesota will face all season. A big, strong, athletic kid that can certainly make the throws down the field. They've got a couple of four-star running backs by the name of Jalen Berger, who used to be at Wisconsin. And then Jarek Broussard, who was the 2020 Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year. They can form quite the tandem. I believe they've averaged over 5 yards a carry so far through three games with 6 rushing touchdowns. And then pass catcher-wise, I do think pass catcher wise, like if you had to go 1 through 4 for Michigan State, Luke, it'll be the toughest test Minnesota faces all year. Now, a lot of that potentially comes down to, is Jaden Reed playing? If he is, I mean, I will say again, I think he is potentially the most talented receiver Minnesota faces all season. But that's not to throw any shade at guys like Keon Coleman, who, oh, by the way, Luke, is a member of Tom Izzo's basketball team.
Yeah.
I think he played in 6 games for them last season. But, I mean, it's Keon Coleman, who is obviously, if you're playing on Tom Izzo's basketball team, you probably know how to go up and get a rebound. He's a big physical kid, 6'3", big bodied. Trey Mosley in the slot is going to be a test for Michael Dixon and Ryan Stapp. They've got a couple of athletic tight ends there as well. I mean, this is an explosive passing offense, one that has 5 touchdowns of over 25 yards through the air through 3 games. In contrast, Minnesota's starting defense has only given up 1 passing play of over 25 yards in the first 3 games. I mean, Luke, this is going to be the matchup. Is Rossi's defense has been really good. I mean, you'll hear some stats later that I'm not going to save until the prediction segment, where Minnesota's defense has just been really good the last about 15 games. We're going to find out what this 22 defense is going to be made of, because this is a Michigan State offense that wants to be explosive. They have the skill position players to be explosive. It's going to be a fantastic test.
Legacy and Life Law Firm LLC brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio, and it's a big week for them, Ryan. They have this party going on that they're hosting, so if you want to go and check that out, it's in the greater Chicagoland area. It's going to be at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. They'll have free appetizers at 2 and a raffle for a signed Chris Ottman Bell crab shirt, the one that you've seen promoted by Dinkytown Athletes. It's going to be a great event.
It will be. So as Luke mentioned, this is going to be in, I believe, Northwest Chicago area. So if you're in the Milwaukee, Kenosha, greater Chicago area, and you're thinking to yourself, I would love to go watch a Gopher game with some fellow Gopher fans, get some free food, potentially get a signed Chris Ottman Bell crab shirt from Dinkytown Athletes. This sounds like a fantastic opportunity, Luke.
Yeah, so go to legacyandlifelaw.com/GGR. There's a special section for you there if you're a Gopher Gridiron Radio fan. And if you just need some legal help, they're your ticket. All right, let's get to the facts and figures for this matchup against Michigan State. This is going to be a central 2:30 p.m. kickoff on the 24th of September. On the season, Minnesota is 3-0. Michigan State is 2-1 with their lone loss coming to Washington. On the year, Michigan State is 1-1-1 against the spread. Minnesota is currently 3-0-0 against the spread. The Gophers are favored currently, as it sits on Wednesday here, by 3 with an over-under of 51. Also, looking at the weather, Ryan, for Saturday, at kickoff around 2:30, the temperature will be about 62 degrees. That sounds like good fall football
about
weather.
Dang time. It starts to feel like fall around these parts, Luke, let me tell you.
All right. So in East Lansing, the temperature will get up into it peak out at about 65 and start to head back down as the game ends. Wind shouldn't be much of a factor, only 8 miles an hour. Dew point about 55. Again, it should be a pretty good opportunity to watch some good football if you're going to be traveling there. There might be a slight chance of rain. Again, these weather predictions are subject to change, as always, because we are way too far out. But Ryan, let's get into your keys of the game.
The only thing I'd add there, Luke, is you mentioned Minnesota's 3-0 against the spread, and that's where I've had some Vegas people slide into the DMs and say, good teams win, but great teams cover, Luke.
Yes, so very true. I've seen that a lot of late, and I like how they're listing all the teams that have won and covered throughout the season. There aren't many, but Minnesota's one that's in it in all 3 games.
They're one of 5 teams that have won as the favorite and covered. USC, Penn State, Minnesota, Washington, and Tennessee are the 5. But if Minnesota's going to continue that trend, they're going to have to do my number one key to the game, and that is get Michigan State quarterback Peyton Thorne off of his spot, and you got to mix up the looks you're throwing at him. I have a lot of respect for former Golden Gopher offensive coordinator Jay Johnson, now the OC and play caller for the Michigan State Spartans. Plus, oh, by the way, he's got the best quarterback and skill position group that Joe Rossi's defense has faced all year. So the big question that needs to be answered, and I've talked about it already on this podcast, is does the Spartans wide receiver one, Jaden Reed, play in this game? Didn't travel to Washington last week, so it's not like he was close to playing and was a game time decision. Didn't even travel and missed the game last week with that vicious back cut injury. I don't know what to think, if he's going to play, if he's not, but I'll tell you, he's the straw that stirs the drink for that Michigan State passing offense. And I say that knowing there's a lot of talent elsewhere in the room, but the fact is they are a different passing offense that is much more explosive with him than without him. So we'll see if he returns, but Minnesota's going to have to put a big body on dual sport athlete Keon Coleman. He leads the team in targets, receptions, and receiving yards in Reed's absence. I mentioned it as well. Coleman is a member of Tom Izzo's basketball team, so you know he knows how to go up and get it. And I'm going to imagine, Luke, that we're going to see a lot of Terrell Smith and a lot of Justin Wally on him. It's going to be a big test for both. In the slot, Trey Mosley has been very dangerous there. He's currently third on the team in targets, tied for the team lead with three receiving touchdowns. They really like to use him once they get across an opponent's 30-yard line. So Ryan Stapp and Michael Dixon, Minnesota's two slot corners, are going to have to find him. But I'm also curious to see how Minnesota decides to cover Daniel Barker, who's their big tight end, big athletic kid, currently second on the team in targets. Is it Michael Dixon, your de facto linebacker body, or are you going to be using Braylon Oliver, Cody Lindenberg types? But truthfully, Luke, the head of the snake for this Michigan State offense is Peyton Thorne. Big, strong, athletic kid, can break the pocket, can get yards with his legs, and he's also got the arm to push it down the field with ease. So if I am Minnesota defensive coordinator Joe Rossi, I'm doing whatever I can to throw as many looks at Peyton Thorne as possible. And that's the key for Minnesota's defense. Get his head spinning and get him off his spot. Why that's important, Luke? Well, according to Pro Football Focus, Peyton Thorne is completing 66% of his passes with six touchdowns and zero interceptions when the pocket is kept clean around him. Sources tell me that's pretty good. But in that same metric, when he's under pressure, Peyton Thorne's completion percentage drops to 50%, and he's thrown four interceptions to one touchdown. Shocker, college quarterback with pressure in his face, not as good as when he's kept clean. Now, the issue is, Luke, it's a double-edged sword for Minnesota if they can't generate pressure with four or five, which is why it is going to be huge to see Kentrell Carter, Thomas Rush, Jalen Logan Redding, Danny Strigow, Ja Joyner types, among others, get in the face of Thorne and get him off his spot. If they can't, and Rossi's going to have to send blitzes, there's going to be a lot of one-on-one opportunities on the outside and a lot of open space where if Minnesota doesn't make the open field tackle, that could lead to some explosive plays. But getting pressure on Thorne is going to be massive for Minnesota in this game. But for Minnesota's offense, my number two key to the game is they have to find answers in the passing game without Chris Ottman-Bell. Did you expect to hear anything else here? I don't know if you did, but come on now. Yeah. Chris Ottman-Bell is out for the season, leading the team in targets, receptions, receiving yards. But I'll continue to bang the drum, just like PJ Fleck has, Kirk Ciarrocca has. It can't be just one guy that's going to fill his shoes. It's got to be a collective effort. Now, the number one guy everybody wants to see is Dalen Wright. And I'll tell you again, Dalen Wright is already playing a ton of snaps. His 112 snaps through the first three games are higher than any other three-game stretch in his collegiate career. He's already playing the snaps, but now it's time to feature his skill set and more. And Derek Burns made a great point Sunday night, Luke, that I want to see more out of Dalen Wright knowing where he needs to be in the RPO game, because that's about reading coverages and knowing where the soft spot is. There's no doubt that he's going to be counted upon in that play action game or in the red zone. He certainly can't be ignored, but I want to see more from Dalen Wright understanding where he's supposed to be and reading coverages in the RPO game. Now, you don't have to tell me twice about Brevin Spanford, who is now, by the way, the leading target guy who is currently healthy. He's got the highest receiving grade on the team, according to Pro Football Focus, at 83.6. He's going to be largely counted on more, I think, in the red zone and certainly on third downs. But it's also got to be Daniel Jackson and Michael Brown Stevens. And I know there's a lot of people who, when you back in spring ball when he was healthy, there was a drumbeat for Daniel Jackson has taken the next step. And then he gets injured in fall camp. Is he going to be able to come back and fill that role? Are we going to see more Michael Brown Stevens? Is it Clay Geary, Lamecki Brockington? But the point remains, the Michigan State secondary is the most exploitable part of their defense. And we saw it last week. Michael Penix picked them apart with the short passing game early, and then they would take shots deep. And I think that's going to be the recipe for Kirk Ciarrocca, is short passing game to respect the pass rush for the Spartans. But this is going to have to be one where Tanner Morgan's on his game. There is not a quarterback in the Big Ten with a better Pro Football Focus passing grade than Minnesota's Tanner Morgan. Now, when he's had pressure around him, that passing grade drops to 60, which has been an average quarterback. So you keep Tanner Morgan clean, like most college quarterbacks, and good things happen. Last one, Luke, is they got to win the explosive play battle. This is something that both coordinators talked about today with me. Joe Rossi, you know his defense likes to limit explosive plays, and Kirk Ciarrocca cares about two things, and one of them is the explosive play battle. Now, Jay Johnson's Michigan State offense, I mentioned it, pretty damn explosive. They've got 7 passing touchdowns through 3 games of over 15 yards. 5 of them are over 25 yards. In contrast, Minnesota's starting defense has given up 1 passing play of over 25 yards in 3 games. I think many Gopher fans know by now, 2 things that Joe Rossi-led defense wants to do on any given week are stop the run and limit big plays. Now, the starting defense has allowed 135 rushing yards on 52 carries, which is 2.59 yards per carry. 0 rushing touchdowns against the starters. Well, Michigan State's top 2 backs, Jalen Berger, the Wisconsin transfer, Jarek Broussard, the Colorado transfer, have combined in their first 3 games for over 5 yards a carry and 6 rushing touchdowns. Now, Berger is more of your north-south back, Broussard more of your shifty and elusive in space back. But the thing to watch here, Luke, is Michigan's offensive line versus the Gophers' front 7. Bill Conley from ESPN tweeted this out, and I noted it. The Spartans last week weren't able to run the ball against Washington. They had 30 yards combined rushing between Berger and Broussard. Well, what happened? The Spartans' offensive line averaged negative yards before contact. Essentially, on those carries from the running backs, they were getting hit in the backfield more times than not. Now, Luke, you know more about the Washington Huskies than I do, but I don't know that the Washington Huskies front 7 was thought to be really, really good. But you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Luke.
No, I think you're accurate. I don't think anybody thought they were going to see what we saw in that game against Michigan State.
So Minnesota's going to have to do it again. They're going to have to bring the physicality. If they're not able to stop the run, it's going to be a long day. If they are, and then they're able to get thrown off their spot, that's going to be the interesting part about it. For Minnesota's offense here with the explosive plays, they got to hit some play-action shots. Michigan State's defense allowed 11 passes of 15 or more yards last week. I don't know if Minnesota's going to get there, but they're going to need at least a handful to win this game on the road. And the other thing is Michigan State's run defense averaging under 2.7 yards per carry against them on 100 rushing attempts. Contrast that with Minnesota, who's got the most prolific running game so far in the Big Ten, 5.8 yards per carry on 161 attempts. Mo Ibrahim is a Heisman contender right now for a reason, but Minnesota's offensive line is going to have to give him some holes to run through against their best run defense to date. Win the explosive plays battle, Luke, and you're likely going to come away from this game awfully happy.
All right, so when we previewed this game, Ryan, I think we both sort of assumed, you know, given Washington's struggles last year, that both of these teams would be coming in 3-0. That's obviously not the case. Michigan State comes in 2-1. I don't think that things are complete doom and gloom yet in Michigan State, but they'll obviously be motivated. Mel Tucker has said that he's not been coaching particularly well, et cetera, et cetera. I guess the one thing that I wanted to get to here was, do you recall what we picked in that preview episode that we did?
I know I picked Minnesota to win the game. I don't remember what the score was.
I think I ultimately picked Michigan State, if memory serves. And I think
you're right.
Yeah. So in terms of previewing this game, thus far, Michigan State has definitely played the more competitive non-conference schedule. Obviously, the loss to Washington, but also Western Michigan's a better team than probably any of the teams that Minnesota played all non-conference. This is going to be a big test for the Gophers. This is also very pivotal for both teams. It kind of sets the direction, you know, of what maybe is possible for both of these teams, given, you know, this is a crossover game, a foe that you're not usually used to. I still think regardless of how the Gophers come out of this, things could still be on the right trajectory. The other thing to note, Ryan, is this is one of these games, too, that we get a number of, you know, what I would call kind of bandwagon Gopher fans joining, right? So this is an opportunity for Gopher fans, you know, for the diehard Gopher fans to get some more people on the bus. This is a kind of game that's a measuring stick for bandwagon fans. And they say, well, yeah, here you go. Can't compete with the big boys, but you know, you can beat the FCS and the really poor school. So this is a very big barometer game for, you know, how much interest there will be here locally as well. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a pivotal game. We talked about it before the season. I've been talking about it since late July. And I look at this game where both teams are coming in right now. Minnesota just lost their best pass catcher. That sucks. But Michigan State might potentially be without their best pass catcher and their best defensive lineman. It's football. Injuries happen. Minnesota hasn't won here since 2006, and they haven't beaten Michigan State in their last five attempts, because that last game that they won against him was in 2009, when I believe it was the shootout on Halloween night between Adam Weber and Kirk Cousins, of all people. So it's a team you haven't beaten in a long time. I was in 2009. I was 16, 17 years old.
I was in college. 30.
So it's time to change it, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to stick with my prediction, Ryan, that Michigan State wins this one. I think it'll be a close game. I'm going to go 28-24.
I'm so glad you picked Michigan State to score 28 points, because that leads me into the final points that I want to make before my prediction. Okay. Luke, when was the last time a Minnesota defense allowed their opponent to score 24 or more points?
Are you going to tell me this is like back into the Rob Smith days?
I think since Rob Smith, Minnesota's allowed 24 or more points defensively.
Okay, good. I'll go with 2020.
It was the opening game of last season when Michigan State put 45 up. So I will remind you.
Michigan, that's right. Not Michigan State. Nope. Yeah.
No. Ohio State put up 45 to start off.
Oh, yes, Ohio State. I thought you said Michigan State. Sorry.
No.
I was thinking of 2020 was Michigan. Yes.
Yeah, Minnesota has gone their last 15 games without allowing an opponent to score 24 or more points. Luke, Minnesota has allowed an opponent to score 20 or more points just twice in their last 14 games. And in their last six games, Minnesota has not allowed an opposing offense to score over 14 points. I think if we've learned anything, Luke, it's don't take betting advice from me. I am 1-2 against the spread and 1-2 against the over under.
Yes.
But I look at this game and I believe right now it's an over under of 51. And here's where I'm at, is unless you think the streak finally ends, like Luke does, that Minnesota is going to give up 24 or more points for the first time in over a year, I think I would tell you to probably take the under in this game, unless you think Minnesota's offense is going to put up another 30 burger. Now, I know that Michigan State's offense is the best and most explosive one that the Gopher defense has seen all season so far. It'll be one of the most explosive and talented ones they'll face all year. I just have a hard time believing the 51 hits the over, unless you're really thinking highly of Kirk Shiraka's offense without Chris Ottman-Bell. Now, I picked this as a Gopher victory in my preseason prediction article. Michigan State is still ranked, or at least in the coaches' poll, where they're number 21. And I haven't really seen anything through the first three games from either team to sway me from that. So I think it'll be close, but I think Tanner Morgan in this passing game do enough to complement Mo Ibrahim's Heisman campaign. Minnesota gets a huge road Big Ten victory, a place they haven't won since 2006. I got Minnesota 27. Michigan State 23. That is a Gopher cover, and that is an under.
I had the over, and obviously Michigan State covers. You know, I picked that at the beginning of the year, and I'm going to stick with that. I feel worse about it knowing.
I am shocked that you, of all people, Luke Buehr, are going against Joe Rossi's defense.
Shocked, I know, once again.
Gobsmacked, some would say.
One would say, and they probably will on Gopher Illustrated, that you put in a lot more research and I put in a lot less research. But I had to put something out there, so. The Burns Insurance Agency brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, you can get Burns Insurance coverage in more than just Minnesota, can't you?
You absolutely can. We've been harping about him for years, but if you think you're paying too much in insurance, you probably are. That's how you know. And I can't tell you how many times I'll have someone switch over to the Burns Insurance Agency owned by my father, Bill Burns, gigantic Gopher supporter. And it turns out you were paying $200-$300 too much in auto, $400-$500 too much for your home. I've seen my father save over $1,000 for different commercial businesses. Heck, I just got my life insurance through him just this past week. So if you think you're paying too much for insurance and you have a home, a business, a car in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, Florida, and Utah, and you want to have a fellow Gopher fan help you save some money with the holidays here approaching, hit him up at insurancebyburns.com or shoot him an email at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, let's take a look, Ryan, at this Big Ten schedule. A number of kind of intriguing games to me. This is the game of the week, if you ask me, the Gophers and Michigan State. You got a better one on the slate that you would say is a more interesting game this week?
Well, I'll say I'm not sleeping on the Thursday night game. Now, yeah,
the Illinois Chattanooga one.
And I say that because the Chattanooga Mocs are 3-0, and I believe they're the number 10 ranked team in the FCS. So this isn't exactly a bad team going to play Illinois.
No.
This is a team that is 3-0, that is ranked number 10 in the country in the FCS polls that I've seen. And if Illinois is going to continue to potentially be a dark horse, you have to beat an FCS team no matter what they're ranked. But we saw how South Dakota State, a top five FCS team, gave Iowa a gigantic run for their money. So while I expect Ryan Walters, future Colorado football coach, to win this game, I am if there are worse things to watch on a Thursday night if you don't want to watch the NFL.
Yeah, so there are two games, Ryan, tied for the lowest get-in price. The one that you just mentioned is one. Can you guess the other one?
The other one has to be the Northwestern game, right? Yeah,
both $4, according to this little ESPN widget, ticket widget thing. Okay, let's look at a game that's very intriguing to me in the 11 o'clock hour is the Michigan-Maryland game. Maryland, you know, is a team that has talent. They don't struggle to recruit per se. They just seem to struggle to put it together. Michigan really hasn't played anyone this season, similarly to the Gophers. The over under for this is 65 with Michigan, a 17 point favorite, Ryan.
Well, that's where you look at Maryland and they've scored 30 or more points in their last five games. Michigan, on the flip side of it, you take out that national championship game, they haven't given up more than 10 points. So I want to see what J.J. McCarthy looks like. Yep. I mean, again, I am high on that young man. I'm curious to see what Taulia Tagovailoa looks like against what is going to be the best defense outside of potentially Ohio State he faces all season. But I think it's interesting that, number one, this over-under is 65, so maybe that tells you that Vegas has a little bit more confidence in Maryland's offense than I do. But this is, again, a game that Michigan should win.
All right, so Central Michigan at Penn State. This is another 11 o'clock kick. I think it's, you know, Penn State's a 28-point favorite with an over-under of 65. I think that Penn State's going to roll on this one. Probably won't be interesting. I think most eyeballs will be on the Maryland-Michigan game at the 11 o'clock time slot.
Yeah, I don't have a ton more to add there other than let's see what Nick Singleton looks like again. I would say this. I understand Nick Singleton is a lot of fun to watch. But I've seen some national media people be like, he's a top two running back in the Big Ten. And I'm thinking to myself, did Travion Henderson and Chase Brown and Mo Ibrahim and Braylon Allen, among others, stop existing? I know he's the flashy new object in the room.
Yep.
But come on now.
Yep. Okay, so the other competing game against the Gophers of the 2:30 time slot is Indiana at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, again, last year was in the college football playoff. They're off to another hot start this season. They're currently 2-1 with their lone loss coming to number 19 Arkansas in a very close game. Indiana, conversely, is 3-0, but Cincinnati still holds a 16.5-point advantage with an over-under of 57.5. I suspect that the Bearcats will roll, but you know, Indiana did find a way to beat a team that we're pretty high on in Illinois to start the season.
Indiana has found a way to win the last three games. Now, they found a way to beat Illinois. They found a way to come back from a deficit at halftime to one of your favorite teams, Idaho Vandals. And then they found a way to win on a 50-plus yard field goal last week. I mean, it's almost got like a Pat Fitzgerald Northwestern vibe where none of it's pretty, but like they find a way to win. Now, I don't think they're going to find a way to win on the road in Cincinnati, but we'll have to find out.
All right. The evening games, there is a clear must-watch for me as a specialist fanboy. It's going to be that Iowa at Rutgers game. Ryan, this is a 6 o'clock game on FS1. the line is, at this point, comical, right? It's Iowa, 7.5-point favorite with an over-under of 34.5 as we sit here on Wednesday.
How disgusting is that? So Vegas thinks this game's going to be something like 21-14, 20-13.
Yep.
But most importantly, you mention it, Luke. This is the punter battle of the century. It is Torrey Taylor versus Adam Corsack. I mean, we're talking about, I think both guys last season were Ray Guy Award finalists. I believe both of them were All-Americans. We're talking about a Rutgers team that's currently 3-0.
Yep.
Have this game at home in Piscataway. Joe Harris Simiak's done a good job at forcing turnovers. I have said this now, I think, each week, Luke, but Iowa football right now is just must watch because their offense is so dreadful, yet their defense and special teams are so good. This is a game, Luke, where maybe for the first time and the only time all season, Iowa may not have the punter, you know,
the best punter. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is just going to be a game of field position and which punter is going to blink first. Find out 6 p.m. on FS1.
All right. What do you got for the over under if you had to set the line for the number of punts in this game?
14.5.
Okay. So about 7 aside.
Yeah.
I'll take the over on that. I'm going to take the over on 14.
Fair enough. Again, I think this game is going to be I'll say disgusting. It's disgusting if you want offensive football to exist in the year of our Lord 2022. But can Spencer Petras do anything? Can Rutgers offensively do anything against what's a top three Phil Parker defense? Mm-hmm. And who's going to blink first?
Okay, 6:30 on ABC. Ohio State will be playing host to Wisconsin. Ohio State is an 18.5-point favorite with an over-under of 57. I don't think anybody expects Wisconsin to win this game. Ohio State probably has too much firepower, but that defense against this offense will be pretty interesting.
I think for both. I mean, I think Ohio State's defense looks much improved, and they're going to be facing Graham Mertz and that passing offense. We're going to see Graham Mertz has looked better. I'll be the first one to say that. But now he's going to go into the horseshoe at night to play a number three rated team. And that is a much improved defense for Ohio State. And on the flip side, I mean, what's Ohio State going to look like against Jim Leonard's defense, which has been obviously very good for the last few years? I believe Jackson Smith and Jigba's back. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. continues to be prolific, and C.J. Stroud continues to look like a guy who's going to be a Heisman finalist. Well, you put up gaudy stats against Wisconsin's defense, you're going to continue to be potentially a Heisman candidate.
All right. Two games left. Northwestern plays host to Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio on the season is 1-2. They have losses against Cincinnati and Kentucky. And then they have their only win against Robert Morris. Northwestern is favored by 7 with an over under of 50. Coming off of two losses to Duke and Southern Illinois. I don't even know, Ryan. Northwestern makes no sense. They used to make so much sense, and they just make no sense now.
I know that it's early, and I know this isn't a Big Ten game, so ultimately it's not going to matter because Northwestern is still leading the Big Ten West right now at 1-0. But this is such a strange Northwestern team. They can't run it. They throw it a ton. Evan Hall is just the check down king. He's leading them in both rushing yards and receiving yards. He's got 300 of both. I mean, talk about your Christian McCaffrey in PPR. We're talking about Evan Hall with 27 receptions for three games as the running back. I have no idea what to expect because is Northwestern going to get their members back in the secondary? Are they not? Does it matter? Can they show up at Ryan Field and the lights?
All right. So final game, a 6:30 start on BTN. The Boilermakers play host to the Florida Atlantic Owls. The Boilermakers are favored by 20 with an over-under of 61.5. They're coming off that crazy finish against Syracuse where 42 points were scored in the fourth quarter. They ended up losing 32-29. I think that this is a game that is going to be very welcome by Coach Brohm. They need to get back on the schneid before they head here to Minnesota.
I think there's going to be a lot of points in this one. I see FAU giving up 40 points to UCF, 40 points to Ohio, and I see Jeff Brohm at home. I think Charlie Jones is going to go bananas again, and then we get to detail that one next week.
All right, so we want to thank everybody for listening. We again want to thank our sponsors, the Goal Line Clubs, Caps Custom, Legacy and Life Law, and the Burns Insurance Agency. It should be a fun one against Michigan State, and go Gophers.